very interesting in the Bible that there are God speaks of time periods in the Bible, and there's so it's very interesting if you study this. There are so many different time periods in the Bible. And I'll just give you a flavour of some of them. There's man's day. There's the day of the Lord or the Lord's day. There's the day of the Lord as a period, and there's also the Lord's day as a Sabbath. There's the day of wrath, which is in the longer period called the day of the Lord. There's the time of the Gentiles. Right. There's the 77s of Daniel for Israel, which equates to 490 years. And that's very interesting because that's when they knew Jesus Christ was coming, his first coming. But it also speaks of the last week of Daniel, which is suspended at the moment, for Israel. And that's a period of time in the end times before Jesus Christ comes. And that's another part of it. It speaks in the word similar to this 70th week, which is seven. A week there is 7 years. It speaks of a times, a time, and a half a time, relating to 1260 years, which was the not the Gregorian calendar, it's the agricultural lunar calendar. 1260 days is the Jewish calendar for 3.5 years. It actually says 3.5 years as well. There's a time referred to in Psalms, and we'll get a chance to look at some of these. A time period is when his wrath is kindled but a little. Then there's another time period, which is the day of wrath, which is the fullness of his wrath poured out. We know there are different ages. We're living in an age of grace today. And there's a time called the beginning of sorrows, or the beginning of birth pangs, or the beginning of contractions. And Jesus Christ speaks of that. And he talks about as time is approaching before his return, and the latter times, or the end of the end times. Approaching that time is the beginning of sorrows. So we'll maybe take a look at that and see. And the beginning of sorrows literally is birth pains of a new age. And the way contractions come and go and then get stronger, that's what he's referring to. Not necessarily a baby being born, but using that as an illustration for a new age, new time being born. There's a period called, we call it the Great Tribulation. Lots of Christians call it the Great Tribulation, but in the word, it's actually Great Tribulation. It's not the. So I don't know if that means something or not, but anyway, there's a time called Great Tribulation. There's the end times, the latter times, the last days. The time we're living in now, I'm talking about in the age of grace for the last 2,000 years. It's a time which is referred to as the time during which the end of the world has come. And that's interesting to understand what that means. So there are all these time periods in the Word, and it's very enlightening to go and start studying these and see what they really mean and see how they overlap and what they mean in the Word. And when it comes to understanding prophecy in the end times, it's absolutely critical that there's clarity on these things. Otherwise, they all get mixed up. And there are lots of things said, you know, like, for example, the period of tribulation, the Great Tribulation. How long is it? Some people say it's 7 years. Some people say it's 3.5 years. What does the Word say? So all these things can be worked out from the Word of God. So probably a good place to start is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And in broad terms, there's one I didn't mention that's on the list. The times of the Gentiles. That's another one. Okay, so as you can see, God speaks of times and periods of time quite a lot in the Word. And he has a purpose for doing so. And I believe that if we understand these or begin to grow in our understanding, a lot of the word will make greater sense to us. But a good place to start is in 1 Corinthians, because there's a time coming called the day of the Lord. Literally, it's the day of Jehovah. That's what it, when you read the day of the Lord in the Bible, the word is Jehovah for Lord. It's the day of Jehovah or Yahweh, however people want to pronounce it. The day of Jah, Almighty, his day. But today, in God's word, is called man's day. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3, Paul's talking about being judged, people judging him. And he says, but with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. And the word man's judgment there is literally man's day, when man does the judging. In this day that we're living in, man does the judging. God has left man to do the judging. Now, of course, God is still sovereign over all. He still judges. He still sees kingdoms to fall and kingdoms to rise. He still is involved in human affairs. He's still working his plan, his prophetic plan. But primarily, that's with his wisdom over and higher than what man is doing the judging. God can work with man doing the judgment because he's all wise. And that's something to do with God's sovereignty, which is another topic, really. But today man does the judgment. God has given the world to man. Man does the judgment. But there's a day coming called the day of the Lord when the Lord will do the judging. And what will go on in that day will be the Lord will set the standard. And that's the day when Jesus Christ returns and he rules the world with a rod of iron. And what man does today, he will not be able to do in the day of the Lord. Or rather, he will be able to do it, but he won't get away with it. The rule of the rod of iron of Christ will prevent man judging and having great influence in the world. Basically, the whole world will be brought under the judgment of Christ. And it'll be the Lord in that day who will be doing the judging. When is the day of the Lord? Well, this is a good one. Because some people do try and tell you that we are living in the day of the Lord today. Is it true? Are we living in the day of the Lord today? Well, if you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 19. Are we living in the day of the Lord today? Well, we're living in man's day, but let's see. And I will show, verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood, fire, and vapour of smoke. Are we there? Acts chapter 2, verse 19. Yeah. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Okay, blood, 1, fire, 2, and vapour of smoke, 3. Those three things, blood, fire, and vapour of smoke, will be very, very, very prevalent in the world, massively. Before the day of the Lord. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Now, this is really key. If we're living in the day of the Lord today, then those things must have come to pass. So in other words, we'll have seen these wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. We'll have seen blood come down from heaven, right? Fire come down from heaven. Vapor of smoke, okay? In a massive way, yeah? The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. You know, as that happened before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, have we seen those signs? No, we haven't, have we? So we know whether the Lord's day is near or far, these signs haven't happened yet. So we're definitely not living in the day of the Lord. Not unless I've missed something pretty big. Okay. All right. It turned into the Old Testament, Joel, because Peter, when he spoke those words in Acts at the day of Pentecost, he was quoting from Joel. In the Old Testament, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Okay, Joel, chapter 2, verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Am I going too fast? I'll just slow it a bit. Okay. The book of Joel. Chapter 2, verse 30. Let's read it. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said. You see, the day of the Lord is not upon us just yet. Okay? We may not be far away, but we're not living in the day of the Lord, because those signs must happen first. Okay? Now, all of these things are very important to understand Bible prophecy. And when you start piecing the whole jigsaw piece together, you begin to appreciate how important these things are. Okay, if you turn to Luke chapter 21, Gospel of Luke 21, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, of course, what we're doing tonight really with this is just scratching the surface. We're just introducing it, because you could write books on all of these things. So, Luke chapter 21, verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, from the prophets Daniel and the Old Testament prophets, Jesus Christ knew, and the faithful knew, that the destruction was going to come upon Jerusalem in the not too distant future, after Christ was be crucified. So it speaks of this in the Old Testament. And this is what Christ was referring to here. And he talks about in that time that they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. That actually happened. 70 AD, Jerusalem was ransacked by the Romans. And the nation of Israel, or the Jews that were left in the land, most of them were carried away captive, dispersed. And then it said, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, come to a full end, come to completion. So there is something in the word called the times of the Gentiles. Gentiles means nations. Until the times of the nations are fulfilled. Now, we haven't got all the time tonight to go into what that means, but there is a day coming when Jerusalem will be set free from the times of the Gentiles. That the Gentiles' control over Jerusalem will go all the way up to the end when the Antichrist is present. And to the end of the Antichrist. It's at the point when Jesus Christ comes as a man of war to fight for the Battle of Jerusalem. And that's the time when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Okay. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Now, if you knew where Joel was, it's just a few books, a couple of books before Joel. And this is a great book, Daniel. We'll pick it up in chapter 9. Okay, and now this is Gabriel coming to Daniel. Daniel had spent a long time in prayer, interceding for, I mean, the first 24 verses or so of chapter 9 all refer to this time of Daniel's prayer. Daniel prayed for the, if you don't understand the context here, Israel had been carried captive, or rather the Jews had been carried captive for 70 years into Babylon. And after 70 years, it says in verse 2 that Daniel knew by the prophet Jeremiah that the exile would last for 70 years. So Daniel was praying for the return or the ending of the exile, because he knew it was about to happen, but he was praying for it to come around. And he was praying for the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple. And he was interceding according to the word of God. Gabriel comes to him, and then Gabriel gives him, in verse 24, he gives him a greater understanding of what's going to happen with Israel through all time. Or at least up until the time of the second coming of Christ. And it says, in verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth from God. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, Daniel. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks. Now, the word weeks there is sevens. And it's not weeks, it's 7 years. They used to call it a week of years, meaning 7 years. 70 sevens. And if you work out 70 sevens, if my maths is correct, it's 490 years. 490 years are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. Verse 24, chapter 9. And to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophesy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now that's 69 weeks. If you total that up, it's 69 weeks or 69 sevens. So it's 483 years. The street shall be built, and the wall, even in troublous times. And that's true, that happened. And after 62 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. He's not cut off for himself because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. He's alive. The Messiah was cut off from Israel. Yeah? Okay. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now that actually happened. Because the Jerusalem was ransacked, the temple was destroyed, and Jesus Christ, remember we read it there in Luke, he said, and it'll be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And you can piece all this together, and it starts, the jigsaw puzzle comes together. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And this is talking about the Antichrist. And this is the last week, or the last 7 years. Remember, a week is the sevens. It's talking about 7 years. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 7th, for 1 7-year period. And in the midst, now, the midst is somewhere close to the middle of the 7 years. Now, you can work all this through prophecy. Because what Daniel is speaking about here is the abomination of desolation. And this is further revealed elsewhere in the Word that when the abomination of desolation happens, then there are 3.5 years of tribulation. But let's just read it. And he should confirm the covenant with many for 1 7th, 7 years. And in the midst of the 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice, the daily sacrifice, and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined to be poured upon the desolate. So there's another period, and that deals with the last 7 years of Israel's history. Now it's very interesting that 7 year period from Christ, time in the first century, that 7 year period, Israel are in suspension. It's the time of the age of grace. It's the time when the great mystery, God is going to reveal the great mystery, which is what we know about the one body of Christ, about this calling out to a body that was never known. But the clock has stopped. With regards to Israel, the clock has stopped. And there's the 7 years determined for the prophetic history to kick off again. It's interesting. So, and that's what it's talking about. And when you take all that into the book of Revelation, into Daniel, into the prophecies, into what it says in the Gospels, even what it says in the epistles, it all pieces together. It's all very instructive, so it can be understood. We're in the Old Testament. Let's just go to Psalms because I want to explain something, which is a real dandy. God has issued a decree, an eternal decree. And the decree is that Jesus Christ is Earth's rightful ruler. And many people cut themselves on that. Nebuchadnezzar did. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was like as big as the king of heaven. And God cut him down to size. Is it Belshazzar? Was it the son of Nebuchadnezzar? I think I've got that right. Belshazzar, he was the wicked, really, really wicked Babylonian king. And he was the king who the writing on the wall came. And the stuff that he did, what turned it for him is when the Babylonians had many years before this had taken the vessels out of the temple, when they ransacked the temple, they put them away. But what this guy did, which his dad never did, Nebuchadnezzar. What Belshazzar did, he took those chalices and those vessels. He was having a drunken orgy, and he brought them out, and he started using the vessels of the temple of the God of Heaven in Jerusalem, drinking wine in their revelry and their drunken orgy, and he got the chop, didn't he? So serves him right. Yeah, you can't disrespect the King of Heaven and think you can get away with it. Anyhow, there is this decree in Psalm 2. And it's great to read this. It's, why do the heathen rage? It's only a short psalm, this. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Jehovah, Jah, and against his anointed, who is Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This was fulfilled in the 5th century, and it'll have a greater fulfillment at the very time of the end, when the kings of the earth, under the Antichrist, actually want to make physical war with Christ. Yeah, that's another. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, for Jehovah shall have them in derision, confusion. He shall speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt dash them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now look at this. We're gonna go into it. There's a time referred here when it's when his wrath is kindled but a little. Let's just read it. Be wise, verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord now, today, with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. In other words, have respect and honour. Pay due and custom to the Son, Christ, who he's going to give this rod of iron to, okay? Lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they who put their trust in him. When his wrath is kindled but a little. Now, when you read in the book of Revelation, it talks about the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. There are three different series. The seven seals, there are seven trumpets, and there are seven bowls. Now, this is a really good analogy. If somebody gives you a present and they wrap it up in wrapping paper, the seals are like the wrapping paper. That when you take the wrapping off, you can peer inside, and you take the first part of the wrapper off this end, and you can see, it's a box. And then you take a bit more off, and you can begin to... When you take all the wrapper off, each bit of wrapper you're taking off, you're beginning to see more of what the present is. Until you've taken the wrapper off completely, and the present's open, and you can see what the gift is. Well, the prophetic plan of God is spoken of in the book of Revelation as being like seven seals that Jesus, it's a scroll that Jesus Christ opens. And each seal that he breaks off, he's showing you more and more of what's going to happen in this plan. Now, when you get the seals, the trumpets and the bowls are not simply momentary events. They're events that can be dynamic and can grow. Okay? So, what's happening when you take when Jesus Christ takes the seals off? Okay, you'll see things happen like there's war. Well, it doesn't mean there's war just for 5 minutes. That war can be, it can last. When there's famine, that famine can last, or it can stop and start. There are various parts to it. The trumpets are the same. The bowls are the same. But when we get to the trumpets, you'll read, it's God pouring out the wrath of God, but only in measure. When you get to the bowls, it's full measure. It says that the bowls completes the wrath of God. So it's the full measure of the wrath of God. Now, what the full measure of the wrath of God looks like has got to be really, really heavy and frightening. I mean, if you're on the wrong side of it, of course. To us, we'll be praising God in that day, it says, saying, just and true are your judgments. You know, but the fullness of the wrath of God comes. So here in Psalms 2, it says, judges and kings of the earth, leaders of the earth, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, while his wrath is kindled but a little. And the wrath kindling but a little goes up to the time of the seven trumpets, when the you spiritually look into what the trumpets are about. It's a warning to mankind. In fact, the first four trumpets do deal with the earth, don't deal primarily with man. And then the fifth and sixth trumpet deals with mankind. And I think it's the fifth trumpet is where there are devil spirits left out of the abyss, which is showing for 5 months, it says, how bad. It's a foretaste of the lake of fire. And it's a warning to mankind. It's God actually in love, through a measure, showing the world, the unsaved world, the disobedient children, showing them, well, here's a foretaste of a greater reality to come. These are the days when his wrath is kindled but a little, you see. But when you get to the bowls, it says that the bowls are complete, are the fullness of the wrath of God. So that's not when his wrath is kindled but a little bit. That's when you perish out the way, when the wrath is kindled fully. And, you know, great subject to look at, the wrath of God. But it's there. But you see, there's another time, you know. So God's talking about this time period when his wrath is kindled but a little. So, interesting. Right, Matthew 24. How are we doing for time? Okay. Matthew 24. And this is a really interesting one. This is the beginning of sorrows. And the word sorrows here are literally are labor pains. So it's like contractions. Let me just get to the scripture. So it's Matthew chapter 24, verses 5-8. In verse 3, I mean, the disciples come to him and says, oh, when shall these things be? What's the sign of your coming and at the end of the world or the end of the age? Jesus answered in verse 4 and said unto him, take heed to what I'm going to tell you, he says, that so that no man deceive you. Because if we all listen to his words, then we're not going to get deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, saying that Jesus is Christ, and shall deceive many. So there'll be lots of people naming the name of Christ, Christians, lots of Christian organizations who will be deceiving many. Lo and behold, what have we got today? Loads of Christian organizations, loads of different takes on the Word of God, deceiving many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. What are we here today? We hear of wars and rumors of wars. And that will increase as time goes on towards the end times. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be... Wow, gosh, in the last 100-odd years, how many battles have been fought, nation against nation? Actually, where it's got nation against nation, it's one ethnic group against another ethnic group, and then kingdom against kingdom deals with more sort of territorial countries or areas. So there's wars with ethnic groups, the blacks, the whites, the Muslims versus this, oh gosh, and so on and so forth, right across the world. Kosovo, what's happened in, is it Burundi? In Africa, right across the globe, the Irish, you know, Croatia, Bosnia, so forth. It's all around. And then kingdom against kingdom, whoa, we see that. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Well, we've certainly seen famines, and we've certainly seen pestilences, and we've certainly seen, and more so, we've seen earthquakes. The amount of earthquakes that are happening now are unprecedented. They've never happened. So, but what Jesus Christ says, he says, all these belong to a period of time called, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, it's really interesting when you look at this, sorrows, because the beginning of sorrows, it's the beginning of contractions, labor pains. Now, when a woman is in labor, the pain goes and comes. But when it, as you're getting nearer to birth, the woman's pains get stronger and stronger, don't they, ladies? I'm not very authoritative on this. Birth pains, contractions, you know, the norm is that they get stronger and stronger as you get closer to the birth. And quicker. Yeah, they speed up and they get more intense. And you take that into what Jesus Christ is saying here. He's saying this is the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of labor pains, contraction. So what will happen with the wars and the rumors of wars? What will happen with the earthquakes, the pestilence, and so forth? And even the deception is that they will come and go, they will come and go, and they will come and go. And as we're getting closer to the very, very end times, they're going to come more frequent and they're going to get stronger. And that's a period. Now, how long is the beginning of sorrows? I don't know. I don't think the word, I mean, maybe it does and I just don't know it, but I don't think the word of God tells us, you know, the beginning of sorrows could be 100 years. Could be more, could be 50 years, could be 10 years. If you see what we've just read there, we see that all of those things are happening today. So we could very well be in the period of time called the beginning of sorrows. As I say, I don't know if it's 100 years or if it's 10 years. But we are witnessing those things today, and some of them are more pronounced than they've ever been. There's far more wars, there's far more ethnic rivalries, there's far more earthquakes, and there is statistical, empirical evidence to show that this is the case. I know there's been times in history where pestilences have been much stronger, but they are around today. So we could very well be in the beginning of sorrows. It looks like we are. Yeah. 1500 years ago, there weren't so many earthquakes and there weren't so many wars. There were wars, there were earthquakes, but not the intensity that we see today. You know, interesting, isn't it? Let's finish off with tribulation, great tribulation. We're in the same chapter, 24. Now, do you remember before we read in Daniel that the 7 years determined the end of time for Israel, for the plan for Israel to kick off again? During that period somewhere is the period called Great Tribulation. Some people say it's the whole 7 years, some people say it's not. I think the word tells us fairly accurately. I just want to read this to you first. We're in Matthew 24 still, and we're reading from verse 15. Jesus Christ says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. So, Jesus Christ is putting a marker down here. You know, we had the marker before ago on the day of the Lord. The marker for the day of the Lord is that there's got to be signs in the heavens and in the earth. Blood, fire, smoke. The sun turned to darkness, the moon turned to blood. They're markers. Here's another marker. Jesus Christ says, when you shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. And we know from the rest of the word that is the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, going into the temple, declaring himself God. And this is where you need to put all the word together, all the co-text, they all come together. Daniel spoke of this, but remember he said, the last week, the last 7 years. And he said, in the midst of that 7 years, that the man of sin will annul the covenant, and he will do away with the daily sacrifice, and he'll cause the overspreading of abomination of desolations. This is what Jesus Christ is referring to. Daniel said it's in the midst of the 7 years. Okay. Now we must look up the Hebrew word for midst and whether that's bang in the middle. Because if that's bang in the middle, that means half of 1260 days. Sorry, no, that's wrong. That means 1260 days, which is half of 7 years. So what Jesus Christ says is this is a marker, because then he says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Why? Let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Why? Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Why? And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight may not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Why? For in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, this is really interesting, because Jesus Christ gives the marker for the start of the period of great tribulation. So we can work this in the word. Now, we won't go there because we haven't got time. But you see in Revelation, you see that there's a period of 3.5 years, times time and a half a time, 1260 days, expressed differently, 3.5 years, where the woman is persecuted by the adversary. And the woman there there's a place prepared for Israel in the wilderness, which is what Jesus Christ is talking about. Now, the Great Tribulation, the period of Great Tribulation, is God's judgments coming down on the earth. And why does that happen? Because the Antichrist, the man of sin, goes into the temple of God, into the Holy of Holies, and he declares that he is God. And I heard a teaching the other week about this, and it said, when that happens, that's when God says, you think you're God? Let the games begin. And that's when God begins to pour out tribulation, great tribulation. But it's still, this is the time when the trumpets are blown. Now, there's a period of time in this great tribulation, it covers the trumpets right up to the bowls, covers that period of time, and it increases in intensity. And when you read what happens in the bowls, when there's hailstones that were gathered out of here at the last seventh trumpet, at the end of the trumpets, so when the fullness of the wrath comes, we are with Christ at the gathering together. But in the fullness of that wrath, when it's coming down, I mean, the whole world, it talks about a great earthquake. The word is not an earthquake, it's a convulsion. The whole nature, the whole creation convulses. So imagine what that is. Then there are hailstones. the weight of 100 weights, that's about 50 kilos, that's really heavy. Pelting man. You know, in the Old Testament, the idolaters used to be stoned with stones this big. This is 100 weight. This is stones this big, or hailstone. Pelting, coming down. What that plague of hail, 100 weight. You know, if you've ever been in the middle of a hailstorm and the sort of like half-inch hailstone balls, oh, they sting, they hurt. What about 50 kilos dropping on your head? Well, we won't be around there, but yeah, that's serious stuff. And there's a lot involved in that, and there's a lot more to learn about the wrath of God. But what Jesus Christ said in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake they should be cut shortened." That's how bad it's going to get. You know, no living thing would survive. No living thing. If that carried on, and that's why it's called the abomination that causes desolation. The Antichrist going into the temple. So, interesting, isn't it? All these different time periods. Because there are more, but we just have run out of time. So, run out of time. So, interesting. It's a great study, but it helps us understand the Word of God in a much deeper and greater way.